Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. If it's top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and you can call into the studio right now and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to talk about, call us right now. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
You know, guys, a lot of people are looking for hope during this time of the year. They've struggled. They're feeling down and low and bleak, and circumstances are tough, and they're trying to figure out a way out, and they need hope. And, boy, that is the lifeblood of our human experience. Without hope, we just shrivel up and kind of fade away. So that's why the gospel is such a powerful message, because it's filled with hope. Mm-hmm. And it's not something, once you've received the gospel, once you have responded to it, it's not something that you're going to get in the future. You have hope right now. Paul put it this way, since we have such a hope. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. And he's talking about the new covenant. And he's saying that as a result of this new covenant, this ministry of the Spirit into our lives, we have. Not we're going to get, not that it's up there, out there in the future, but we have right now such a hope. And because we have such a hope, we are very bold. And Andrew, this is huge. And what does he mean by the hope that we have in this new covenant?
Yeah, well, that is the hope itself, the covenant, the promise, the oath, the agreement. And so then we start asking, well, what does that look like? I mean, there are a lot of people who try to make promises to God. There are a lot of people who make commitments and dedicate themselves to the Lord. And then, you know, just like our New Year's resolution, it might last a day, a week, a month if we're lucky. And then we're back to square one asking, man, what am I supposed to do if I'm not a faithful promise keeper? And so a lot of people misunderstand Christianity. They get the gospel wrong. They think that they owe God promises. And really, what we see in Hebrews 6, for example, is the polar opposite of that. We see that the new covenant is a promise that God actually makes to himself. It's an agreement that he signs with himself, a contract that he drafts and implements with himself in order to take us out of the equation. And here's what Hebrews 6 says. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And you say, well, why is it secure? Why is it firm? Why is it going to last forever? Why can I count on it? And what we're seeing here, Bob, is that you've got two unchangeable things. As I mentioned, we've got God on one side and God on the other, and this is our anchor for the soul. God drafted the contract and God signed the contract. When I was a kid, I was not allowed to swear to God. I mean, if I swore to God, my mom would have me in trouble in a hurry. But here's one person who can swear to God, and that's God. So what we need to see in Hebrews chapter 6 is that this new covenant is not about our oath. It's not about our promise, our dedication, our commitment. It's not about our keeping of certain demands. Instead, it is about God swearing to God that Jesus is going to be our high priest forever, that we're going to be forgiven forever, that we're going to be safe and secure forever, that we've got an unshakable and unbreakable promise because God is keeping the promise, and also on the other end, God is keeping the promise. And yes, we hear that right. It's God on both sides, and that's what's so beautiful about this new covenant. In the Old Testament, it was Israel trying to promise things to God. In the new covenant, we're seeing God promise himself. And so we've got to realize we'll be saved as long as God is a truth teller. We'll be saved as long as God is a promise keeper. We'll be saved as long as God keeps up his end of the bargain. And that is forever. So that's our hope, Bob.
And that's what gives us the confidence and the boldness in this present life, here and now. We don't have to fear. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry about. God has done it all. The faithfulness of Jesus has done it all. And we're just recipients And when we receive that, we receive such a hope that makes us bold in our day-to-day lives.
Indeed. Well, great thoughts, guys. Thank you for sharing that. And this is Basic Gospel, of course. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're here. We have open lines for you at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the live broadcast at about 5 minutes after 3 Central Time, well, give us a call. We want to hear from you. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do want to make mention of our offer this particular month. It is a great calendar, and I'm going to hold it up for our YouTube and Facebook listeners to see. We want to put this in your hands. It's filled with some of the memes that we've done over the years. At our last conference in September, we made several posters of these particular memes, and after every session, people went up and took pictures so that they could share it, mm-hmm. share these sayings, these memes, with their friends through social media. And we've done a tremendous thing here in this calendar. Greg has put some QR codes in there, so you can take a picture of those QR codes, and the meme pops up, and it's just available to share through your social media channel. So it's available for a gift this month, the Basic Gospel. We want to put this in your hands as a reminder every month of next year of God's great love and grace that has been poured out upon you and the person and work of Jesus Christ.
As we said earlier this week, we think Michelle Lister has created some excellent gospel sharing memes, and Greg Park has done a wonderful thing in literally imagineering how to use the technology incorporated in the calendar and creating it for you, our listeners. So please donate today at basicgospel.net, and let us send you a copy of this excellent 2020 Basic Gospel calendar.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Kentucky and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi. I have a brother and his wife, and they believe that if you're that God is faithful and just to forgive him, to forgive you of your sins. He is, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins.
Yeah.
And I think I called you a couple of years ago about this, and you all say that parable is for the ungodly, but my brother and his wife are Christians, and they believe in that parable. Mm-hmm. And where is that parable?
Okay, well, Mary Jo, first, you know, we find this passage in 1 John 1, and it's verse 9, and it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And you're right that, you know, in some popular teaching out there, it is often taught that this is the Christian's bar of soap, that, you know, I wake up on Monday and I make sure I got all my sins confessed, so that I am forgiven and cleansed of those. And then Tuesday arrives, and I got to make sure that day I've got a clean slate with God, and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. You get the idea. It becomes a formula for daily cleansing. And what we need to see about that first, Mary Jo, is that if that were true, if that were the case, then what Jesus did is less powerful than what the blood of bulls and goats accomplished in the Old Testament. Think about it. In the Old Testament, they got 365 days of sins covered at the Day of Atonement. They didn't have to do day by day or hour by hour or minute by minute ritual in order to get forgiven and cleansed. They got 365 days covered in a single sacrificial event at that Day of Atonement. Now, how much more does the blood of Jesus Christ, which Hebrews says was offered once for all, how much more does the blood of Jesus cleanse us forever? So what we need to see then is if all my sins have been taken away, if I'm agreeing with God that he does not take into account my sins, if I agree with him that he remembers my sins no more, if I agree with him that he's removed them as far as the east is from the west, that he's not dealing with me based on my sins, then what in the world does 1 John 1:9 mean? And guys, I always like to propose that you could actually find the meaning of verse 9 in verse 8. And that's not rocket science. It's just a reality that in verse 8, John is saying very politely, if we, any one of us, is denying our sinfulness, if we, any one of us, is saying that we've never sinned a day in our lives, if we say that we have no sin, then we're liars. God is not in us. The truth is not in us. His word is not in us. That is an unbeliever. So then John says in the classic verse 9, the well-known passage, he says, but if you sin deniers, will come to your senses. If we, any one of us, has been claiming this nonsense, then here's what we need to do. Confess the opposite. Agree with God that we are sinners, agree that we have sinned, agree that we do have sins, and therefore we need a Savior, we need forgiveness, we need cleansing, and guess what God will do? For any unbeliever who is willing to admit that, then God will forgive them and cleanse them of how much? All unrighteousness. So this is an invitation to become a Christian. It is not a bar of soap for daily cleansing. Yes, it is healthy for Christians to say no to sin every time. We turn away from sin every time, but we're not getting more forgiven progressively. Jesus is never going to hang on a cross again. He's never going to shed his blood again. He said it is finished, and that is true for every believer. We are not being forgiven progressively. We have been forgiven once for all. So, Mary Jo, I hope that helps clarify on that passage.
Okay, well, I'll pray about it. And, yeah. And I'm still a little bit confused. I got the main gist of it, but you switched gears on me, and I got lost. So.
Yeah. Well, Mary Jo, as you go and pray about it and study it, I mean, just imagine having a friend out there. Let's say it's your next-door neighbor or somebody across the street who is saying they've never sinned. Well, they can't be a Christian. Somebody who's saying they've never committed a sin and that they don't need a Savior, that's not a Christian. That's an unbeliever who is denying sin. And that's what John is concerned about. He's saying to people like your next door neighbor, he's saying, come on, come to your senses, agree with God, admit that you've got a problem, open your life to Jesus, and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And Mary Jo, that's the cleansing that you have, that I have, that every believer has. We are cleansed of all unrighteousness. So I hope that helps, my friend, and reach out again to us.
Thank you, Mary Jo. We always love hearing from you.
Yeah. 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the live broadcast, this is your opportunity to call in just like Mary Jo did and speak directly with us. Again, 844-322-2742. This call came in overnight. Let's listen.
I was just wondering what your synopsis is towards the end of the passage of Jude, where it talks about those that save with fear and with fire. That is what my Greek translation of the translated Bible says. Thanks a lot.
Well, that's a good question. The little book of Jude is a wonderful book at the very tail end of the New Testament, and he starts out his letter by saying, "I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation." But because of things that were happening, questions that he was receiving, he decided to change course, change direction as far as the theme and the subject of the letter. And so he says, but I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So this good news has been delivered. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ was raised again. Jesus Christ ascended and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's the common faith. That's we confess that Jesus is Lord. We believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. That's the message that binds us to God, that enables us to be made alive together with him. That's the message that binds us together as believers in Christ. So he's saying we need to contend for this faith. Why? For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people. So these are maybe churchgoers, folks that have infiltrated the church, but they are described as ungodly people. So for and what do they do? What makes them ungodly? They're perverting the grace of our God into sensuality, and denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So he goes on to talk about some of the qualities and characteristics of that. And so he says at the end, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. So there's a lot of people that are going to come in and spread confusion. They're going to stir up the water, and it's going to be chaotic, and you're not going to really know exactly what to believe, and you're going to be tossed to and fro. And Jude is giving an anchor to hold on to, like we talked about at the beginning of the broadcast, to build yourselves up in your most holy faith. The fact that Jesus died and took away your sins once and for all, the fact that he was buried, putting an end to your old way of life, crucifying that old man, and then he was raised so that you too could be raised to walk in the newness of life. And what does that newness of life look like? Well, it looks like the love of God. It's abiding, living just in the love of God. So build yourselves up in the love of God, waiting for this mercy. And those who doubt, have mercy on them. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. So if they've bought into the false prophet's narrative, their loss, are moving in the wrong direction. Reach out in truth and love and snatch them out of that so that they can experience new life. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So he's just talking about this great spiritual battle that's there for the souls of men. Satan doesn't want anybody to receive new life in Jesus Christ. And so he's going to do everything in his power to confuse that, to twist it, to change it up so that people won't really know how to respond to the gospel. And he's saying, for those of you who have that anchor, who are standing firm, allow God to use you to be that lifeline to folks in need of the truth.
Yeah. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and we have, again, open lines at 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. You know, friends, between Thanksgiving and the end of the year is the time when we hope to see support for Basic Gospel grow and take us into the new year, not just breaking even, but going far above and beyond, so we can take this message of grace and the Lord Jesus Christ to even more people who need to hear this good news. Please make your gift today at basicgospel.net and help us keep the good news on the air and online. And with your gift this month, we're going to send you the technology-rich 2020 Basic Gospel calendar. It's not just a calendar, but a collection of tastefully created memes that you can copy via the QR code on each page and share on Facebook, YouTube, and other platforms to help spread the gospel throughout social media. So make your gift today and receive your copy of the Basic Gospel 2020 calendar. Just click donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we go to our next caller, I also want to make a plug for our latest YouTube video that we just uploaded this morning. There's some pesky passages in several places, in 1 Corinthians and Galatians and in the book of Ephesians, that say if you do certain things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And when reading them just on the surface, they can be very scary. But but in context, they're really passages that reassure us, that give us the confidence that we are no longer counted with the unrighteous, but that we've been made righteous, we've been washed, we've been cleansed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord. So we want you to take a look at that. And while you're there, subscribe to the channel, because every week we upload a new video. So today's is this: can a believer not inherit the kingdom of God? Is it possible for a believer not to inherit the kingdom of God? And the answer is a resounding no. But take a look at this video and you'll get the context and really come away, I think, feeling confident and assured of your salvation in Christ Jesus.
I took a look at it this morning, and you did, as always, a great job on it.
Well, thank you, Bob. Well, let's go to our phone lines and go to Larry listening to us in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Larry.
Hey, yes, sir.
What's on your mind today?
Oh, I was asking a question. You know, I know that, as everybody says, that when you die, you go directly to heaven. And my question is not if you're a Christian or you go to heaven, but, you know, when Christ is on the cross, he said, today you will be with me in paradise, the thief. And it's not really nothing I worry about, but I've taught Sunday school a lot. People that have, you know, sons or something that die early in life, they want to know where they're at. And I just know, is there any verses that says we go directly to heaven as soon as we die? Or how do you explain that?
Yes, well, certainly we do. I don't think there's anyone that's sitting in a holding pattern, circling the heavenly airport, so to speak, waiting to land one day. When we exit this world as we know it, we exit a time where there's a sun, moon, and stars and a 24-hour day, and we enter into eternity. And, you know, the Bible tells us, Paul writes, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. And I would say that's where you want to go to really comfort people who have lost loved ones, who are wondering where they are today. That, you know, even now as believers, let's see if we can wrap our minds around this. We are already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's true of us today, right now in this world, that spiritually we're raised and seated with Christ. And so therefore, when our body dies, when we die physically, well, our spiritual location doesn't change. It's just that suddenly we can see it. We've got resurrection eyes, and we've got our resurrection body, and we're not bodiless. We're not circling the airport. We're not waiting to see God. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. That's Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Okay. Can I have one more fast question?
Sure.
When, you know, when it says when the Lord comes back to earth, that the dead in Christ will rise first.
Yes.
Could you clear that up for me a little?
Yeah, well, again, my take on that, guys, is that we're so used to wearing a wristwatch on our hand. We're so used to looking at a clock on the wall and looking up and watching the sky go dark and recognizing we have a 24-hour day. And then we leave all that behind. We leave it all behind, and we enter into a place known as eternity where there's all kinds of questions. And I guess one of those questions is, what point do we enter at? I mean, where do we enter into eternity? And I would say this, perhaps consider this possibility, that when we enter into eternity, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we awaken to the sound of that trumpet. I do not believe that as human beings we are ever designed to function without a body. I believe we have a body now. Adam and Eve were created with a body. Jesus had a resurrection body. And we will never be without a body. We're designed that way by God, and that's the way we'll be.
Larry, does that help?
Thank you. Yes, sir, it does. I hope that doesn't sound like silly questions, but, you know, when you're trying to
Yeah, that's a vitally important question, and that ties right back into the very topic that we started with today, and that's our hope as believers in Christ, that we know that there's life beyond the grave. And that hope is anchored in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's anchored in the promise that God made to himself in this new covenant. So we can face death with confidence, knowing that we're going to be with the Lord, as Paul wrote, absent from the body and present with Christ Jesus.
Yes, Larry, thank you for your call. We're out of time. Hope you'll keep listening and call again if we can be a further help. And friends, thank you for being with us for Basic Gospel today. Glad as always you are here. If you have questions you'd like us to answer, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Also, thanks to each of you who supports Basic Gospel with your prayers and gifts. You are the reason we're able to be on the air each day with the good news of the gospel. And to help with your gift today, just click donate at basicgospel.net. And remember, as you make your December gift, we're going to send you the Basic Gospel 2020 calendar with memes for every month of the year to help you share the truth of the gospel on social media. We hope you'll make your gift right now at basicgospel.net. So, with thanks to Andrew Farley for joining us today and for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow as we begin the Christmas story on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.